Thank you for listening to this Podcast One production. Available on Apple Podcasts and Podcast One.
If you're listening to this podcast, it's safe to assume that you love a good mystery. One classic mystery series that has captured the hearts of millions is Nancy Drew. And now, I'm really excited to see what the new Nancy Drew TV series on the CW has in store. It's on Wednesdays from the network that brought you Riverdale. The CW brings you the haunting new series, Nancy Drew. It's set in a small town with big secrets. Nancy gets caught up in a murder mystery that has no earthly explanation. Nancy is a witness to the gruesome murder of a socialite, and the prime suspect is a ghost. Everyone loves a mystery. Nancy Drew lives for them, so she'll do whatever it takes to get to the truth, even if it puts her in the frame for murder. It's hard to keep a secret buried. Nancy Drew, the thrilling series premiere, Wednesday, after the season premiere of Riverdale, only on the CW, or you can stream it the next day on the free CW app. As humans, we make judgments about those around us based on appearance, even though it's not always a conscious process. A person's job, body type, or even gender are just some of the things that can influence our impressions of them. In this case, a couple, Rick Pulley, a pastor, and his wife Patty Jo, gave those around them the impression that they were a happy, stable couple. Maybe that was true. Or maybe those judgments were misguided, because Patty Jo Pulley was murdered, and all the signs seemed to point to her husband. From A&E, this is Cold Case Files. I'm Brooke, and here's the admired Bill Curtis with the classic case, The Pastor's Wife.
I always keep a picture. Anytime I work an investigation, I keep a picture of the person missing or the victim, because you always look back, and the person is not just a number or not just something that fades away.
Keith Isom is an investigator in Pennsylvania County, Virginia. He doesn't investigate a lot of homicides, but the ones he does get, he takes personally.
It's someone that actually lived and had a family and had thoughts and had breath, and now possibly something has happened to him. And so you keep reminding yourself that why you're going forward is for that person that you got that photo.
The picture Isom holds close belongs to Patty Jo Pulley. On May 16, 1999, her pickup truck is found abandoned near Highway 62. Patty Jo herself is missing.
My first intuition was, well, she met someone and left. I mean, just without knowing anything, because the truck, the way it was parked. The truck was parked there as if someone was going to come back and get it, or as if it was placed there neat, nice, not to have any damage done to it.
Patty Jo is about the last person Detective Isom would expect to skip town.
Patty Jo, what did you think about this trip?
I had a wonderful trip.
Married to a local pastor, Rick Pulley, she has helped to form a spiritual basis for the community, and on the surface, seems to enjoy a perfect marriage.
They were involved in almost every aspect of our church. Rick and Patty Jo worked with our worship team, and they worked with our young people. And with the youth ministry, there was a lot of outward ministry, mission work. They did a mission trip at least once a year.
Randy Seddeth is the lead pastor at Rick Pulley's church. Judy is his wife.
In church, she would lay her head on his shoulder. So there was obvious affection there.
They seemed to be a happy couple. Only concern we would have had would have been that they were maybe too committed to the church ministries, and we were trying to get them to rest a little bit more, do some things outside of church, outside of mission.
On the surface, everything looked fine. Of course, everyone has little problems, but as you begin to look behind the scenes, and that's where you start to find out that everything is not as it appears.
18 hours after Patty Jo went missing, Detective Isom drives to Rick Pulley's home to talk to him about his missing wife.
Well, when I first came here, my intention was to give him my card, introduce myself to him, and if there's any way we could be of any assistance, you know, to let us know. And when I saw Mr. Rick Pulley for the first time, that's when I realized the scratches, the wounds on his face, and I realized at that time I needed to take a statement from him.
The scratches on Pulley's face are deep and numerous. Rick Pulley claims he fell into a convenient briar patch.
This is my toolkit. An investigation.
What started out as a courtesy visit to a concerned husband quickly morphs into a Q&A with a possible suspect.
The reason I wanted to tape it was simply because of the marks on his face. At that point, I felt there was a different side of this story, and the only way I really knew to get to it was just sit down with him and just talk to him, let him talk to me.
I'd taken the van and taken her into work so I could take the van and have the tire fixed.
The pastor claims he last saw his wife at 6 p.m. on the night she disappeared. Pulley says he spent the rest of the night at the local high school.
And then he got talked about the play at Dan River High School.
What time did you get there for the play?
About 7:15, 7:20, I think.
Had the play started?
It already started.
It just so happened that night I was at the exact same play. He didn't know this.
Maybe it's coincidence, luck, or perhaps a bit of both. But Isom's own son was in the same school play that night, and the detective was in the audience, watching the whole thing.
And asking questions about the play, how did it end? He began fumbling through it.
What was the last scene?
I don't remember. You mean the name of it?
No. What happened up on stage, the last act?
The last act was the lovers finally come together and everything is consummated with their relationship. And it ends with that. It's happy ever after.
His final answer was that both couples came together and they live happily ever after, which I knew that wasn't true because one of the characters, main characters in one of the couples, dies.
The investigator believes Rick Pulley is lying and wonders why. Isom then asks the pastor to take off his shirt.
And of course, taking off his shirt, he had a few scratches on his arms that, to me, consistent with briars. But what really stood out to me was he had some scratch marks here on his chest, but also these four elongated bruises on his right bicep. When I looked at the bruises, was consistent with Patty Joe reaching up, grabbing him with her left hand on his right bicep, and also reaching up with her right hand and scratching his face. That's why when I looked at that, that's exactly what this picture told me.
Detective Isom's suspicion only deepens when a few days later, an eyewitness surfaces.
He was walking right along this area right here.
Robert Rowland is a self-described good old boy. 2 days after Patty Joe Pulley disappeared, Rowland tells police about a man he saw near the missing woman's pickup.
So when I pulled him and started talking to this fella, he turned and tried to hide from me and looked over his shoulder.
Thinking that the man's truck had broken down, Roland stops and offers him a lift.
T-shirt was torn, had something hanging down on his side, and it was ripped, you know, looked like a sheet or something like that.
Right.
And he told me, he said, I'm all right, just go on.
Robert Roland identifies a photograph of Rick Pulley as the man he met on the side of the road.
When they showed me the photo, I said, that's the fella right there.
That was the fella that the photo was shown. That was the fella you saw seen walking up 62.
Yes.
Pastor Rick Pulley is now the prime suspect in his wife's disappearance and possible murder. There is, however, still a question of motive. Detective Isom begins that inquiry with a small event that happened the night before Patty Joe Pulley disappeared.
Patty Joe went to Winn-Dixie, which is a grocery store here, and she got up to the cash register and wrote a check, and they wouldn't take it. So here she is, a dignified woman, a very proud woman, as far as a pillar of the community down there where she lives, and they won't take her check. So I'm sure she's very humiliated and embarrassed.
Phone records shed light on the source of the couple's money woes. Rick Pulley, it appears, was a sex addict, racking up nearly $1,000 a month in calls to 900 sex lines.
You know, we all put on masks and try to present ourselves a certain way in front of everyone else, but once you go behind closed doors, you take the mask off. So at this point, is the person that everyone perceived him to be in the community, is what he actually was behind closed doors, or whether there's another
Rick Pulley, that no one knew about.
It appears the local pastor was leading two lives. The question for investigators, was he willing to kill his wife in order to keep his secret?
I got my start in podcasts by recording on the floor in my closet. From there, I figured out how to turn it into a real career, and it wasn't easy. So I can't imagine how startups and small businesses that involve more than one person, a microphone, and a closet handle it all. That's where NetSuite Oracle comes in. NetSuite is offering you valuable insights with a free guide at netsuite.com/coldcase. NetSuite is a business management software that's built for growing businesses. NetSuite is one system that handles everything from sales and orders to accounting and HR instantly. And it's all in the cloud, so you can check it all right from your desktop or your phone. It's the number one cloud business system in the world. And right now, NetSuite is offering you valuable insights with a free guide, 7 key strategies to grow your profits, at netsuite.com/coldcase. That's netsuite.com/coldcase to download your free guide, 7 key strategies to grow your profits, netsuite.com/coldcase.
We'd like to ask a small but very important favor of you. It'll only take a few minutes, and if you're one of the first people to do it, Podcast One will make it worth your time. We need you to complete a short survey, because the information you give us can help make things better for the show and you as a listener. Just go to podcastone.com/survey, and everything will be right there for you. That's podcastone.com/survey. The first 250 people who complete the survey will get a $10 gift card to Amazon.com, and 2 grand prize winners will be selected at random to get a $100 Amazon gift card. Filling this out will really help us cater to the needs of you as a loyal listener. Go to podcastone.com/survey, answer some questions, and potentially make some money along the way. From all of us here at Podcast One, thank you for being a dedicated listener.
Rick Pulley had a sexual addiction that not only jeopardized the sanctity of his marriage, but also its financial stability. It seemed that the couple that everyone thought seemed perfect had some well-hidden problems. Was a desire to keep his addiction secret enough motive for a pastor to murder his wife?
So they searched the area, trying to find a scent, looking for her or anyone that may have left the truck.
6 months after Patty Jo Pulley disappeared, investigator Keith Isom walks the area looking for her remains.
It's a thing of every night, I lay in bed trying to figure out where she could be. I looked everywhere I knew. Here in Virginia, on this side of the river, along the roads, knowing she was somewhere here, but not knowing exactly where.
One person apparently not as concerned with Patty Jo's whereabouts, her husband Rick. 3 months after the disappearance, he leaves town, moves to southwestern Virginia, and literally never looks back.
You know, he didn't start it all over again up there, a new life. And I never heard again from him. Never called and asked me how the case was going or anything. So he sort of forgot about me, but I didn't forget about him.
Detective Isom believes Pastor Pulley to be his killer. The problem, without a body, there is no case to be made for murder.
I just need a body. You know, I've got all the circumstantial evidence together, and once you put the pieces of the puzzle together, you've got a picture. But until I've got that body, then the picture's there. But the most important element is missing, and that's the crime.
For 3 years, Patty Jo Pulley has lived among the missing. Then in December 2002, a project geologist takes a walk under a bridge, one that places Patty Jo forever among the dead.
As I was just working, you know, I just heard something crunch under my foot. And my first impression, my first thought was, well, I stepped on a, you know, skeleton of a deer. But then when I looked down and I noticed that there was a bra. Because I didn't see a skull or anything like that. It was just bones and what appeared to be a bra across the bones.
So the mass of the skeletal remains was in this area right here.
That's correct.
Investigators arrive and begin to process the scene.
We conducted an excavation of the skeletal remains and successfully recovered in excess of 95% of the skeletal remains, which is very uncommon. Once we got down to where the entire skeletal was visible, we began photographing, began searching for other physical evidence.
Scraps of clothing, as well as dental records, confirm the remains to be those of Pulley. A length of rope tells investigators Patty Joe was murdered.
This was very crucial, and what this indicated was the possibility of potential binding of the victim or possibly being used as a weapon for strangulation purposes.
The recovery of the remains, the ropes that were found with the remains, basically led from a missing person case from Virginia evolving into a homicide investigation for North Carolina.
You're sort of disappointed that she's dead, but it's a relief now that you can go ahead with it.
Detective Keith Isom worked the original missing persons case and gets cold case detectives up to speed.
I took everything I had, everyone I'd interviewed, every tape I had, every photograph, and handed it to them, said, here's the case, go through the case, and you'll see the puzzle, you can put it together.
I think the photographs that were taken by the investigators from the Pennsylvania County Sheriff's Department were clearly one of the most crucial pieces of evidence in the case.
These pictures, taken a day after Patty Joe disappeared, are of deep scratches found on the face, arm, and chest of Patty Joe's husband, Rick Pulley, longtime suspect in a missing person case, now turned murder.
We were of the opinion that their theory that Mr. Pulley appeared to be involved was correct.
He had three scrapes or scratches on his left cheek.
In 1999, Rick Pulley told investigators the cuts on his face came from a fall into a thicket of briars. A forensic pathologist at Wake Forest University, Dr. Patrick Lance, evaluates that possibility.
So I just went out and just sort of thrust my arm into a briar patch to see what would happen. And of course, like most people would know, I got some superficial scratches on my forearm. And with enough effort, you might actually get one to bleed, but for the most part, these are fairly linear. They're more irregular, not nearly as wide as the injuries we saw on Mr. Pulley's cheek and face.
Dr. Lentz's findings helped to explode Pulley's story about a fall into a briar patch. With the discovery of Patty Joe's body, detectives believe they have enough to charge Rick Pulley. Now they have to find him.
After finding Patty Joe Pulley's body, the investigation once again turned to her husband, Pastor Rick Pulley. They reviewed all of the evidence, including the photos of the scratches on his body. He had claimed they came from a briar bush. Unable to duplicate the injuries and combined with other evidence, the police believed they could charge him with Patty Joe's murder. First, though, they needed to locate him.
It's like a place you would go if you wanted to hide and get away, you know, not be found or bothered.
Connie Winslow is Patty Joe Pulley's niece. For nearly 3 years, Winslow has kept tabs on Rick Pulley, tracking him to the small town of Lebanon, Virginia.
I begged him to please just tell me where she is, and he kept saying, I don't know where she's at, you know, I did not do anything to her.
In Lebanon, Rick Pulley has again become a church leader and a trusted member of the community. Connie Winslow, however, refuses to let him walk away.
I told him, I said, you know what? I said, I just want you to have one last thing to remember our family by. And I slapped him so hard. But that, believe it or not, made me feel so much better.
We found that Mr. Pulley was at his work, which is at this residence right here, is where he was doing his counseling at that time.
In February of 2003, Rick Pulley gets a second visit from his past. This time, it is in the form of the local chief of police with a warrant for the pastor's arrest.
When I got here, found him alone and very cooperative, and I went ahead and transported him up to the sheriff's office where the detectives waited to question him.
This here was when we went to pick up Rick in Lebanon. This is what he looked like when he was sitting in jail in the holding cell.
In 4 short years, Rick Pulley has changed from a brown-haired young man of 43 to a white-haired shell at 47. Detective Isom chalks it up to the corrosive effect of guilt.
We all have consciences, and no matter how we may want to portray ourselves one way, there's always a little something inside that eats on us.
The guilt that has gnawed on Rick Pulley is finally realized in the form of a set of cuffs and a ride back to North Carolina to await trial for murder.
This life, which is left in the form of a skull and bones and restraints, all came from this beautiful woman.
At trial, Caswell County District Attorney Joel Brewer tells the story of the perfect marriage, which somehow took a wrong turn to murder.
She's working cleaning houses to try to make ends meet, and he's making telephone sex calls and running up huge telephone bills.
The DA doesn't have DNA or fingerprints. What he does have, the gashes on Rick Pulley's face, scratching out the identity of a killer.
We told the jury at the beginning of our final argument that in Genesis, the Lord set a mark on Cain. And then we began to explain to the jury how the mark was set upon Ricky Pulley by Patty Joe, and what this told Keith Isom.
And pretty much the best witness on the whole thing was Patty Joe, to where she left a mark on Rick's face and his body. Because if it had not been for that, it's a good possibility he'd have got away with murder.
On October 29th, 2004, Rick Pulley is convicted of first-degree murder and sentenced to life in prison.
It's justice for Patty Joe. And now the family, even though they'll always miss her, there's some type of closure.
You're going to put it on the roadside or this side?
On a cold January morning, the family of Patty Joe Pulley places a cross near the bridge where her remains were found.
Well, try it, hitting on that side another time or two.
He let her lay there 3.5 years. And he knew where she was, and we didn't. She was our baby. And we had a lot of good times, didn't we, Rita?
I didn't want the death penalty for him. I thought it would be too easy. I think knowing him and the type of person he is, what he has now, life in prison without parole, is exactly what he needs. It's the worst thing for him.
Rick Pulley is currently serving his sentence at a medium security facility in North Carolina. He's 62 years old. All people are supposed to be equal in the eyes of the law, but the law is full of human eyes. In cases where someone we have looked to for guidance, like a pastor, commits a violent crime, it can cause everyone to feel a little betrayed. This podcast is hosted by Brooke Giddings, produced by McKamey Lynn and Steve Delamater. Our associate producer is Julie Magruder. Our executive producer is Ted Butler. Our music was created by Blake Maples. This podcast is distributed by Podcast One. The Cold Case Files TV series was produced by Curtis Productions and is hosted by Bill Curtis. Check out more Cold Case Files at aetv.com, or learn more about cases like this one by visiting the A&E Real Crime blog at aetv.com/realcrime.